Hello. Hi, I'm Helen, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm from the state of Florida. Thank you, thank you. And I hope you're ready for a good time, because I like feedback. And I have to read this, so I'm going to start with, today this session is being taped. If you choose to participate in any discussion in this session, you must sign this form granting Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, HAL, specific rights in taping your voice. And the paper is right up here. And I just want to start by telling you a little bit about me. I've been a compulsive overeater all of my life and not known what was wrong with me. I was a fat child, and by the age of 8, I was on the bus with my mother to my first diet doctor. From that point on until I reached the age of 21, I weighed over 260 pounds. That was my last weight. And the scale was not my friend, and I was not one to keep getting on the scale. When I was 21 years old, Weight Watchers came to Florida from New York. And I have been on so many diets, there was not a diet that I hadn't been on. And I mean, I'm phobic with shots. I was getting shots every day from pregnant women's urine. I was on Black Beauties. I was on everything. And nothing worked. It worked for a short amount of time, but it didn't give me to maintenance. It didn't get me where I needed to go. And I was crazy. I was crazy. And so what happened to me was, at the age of 21, I got to Weight Watchers, and I initially lost 80 pounds. And I believe at that weight, I was 260. And once I lost the 60 pounds, or the 80 pounds, rather, I looked normal. It got me back from being so big, I was 24 and a half, to a normal-looking person. And then the progression of my disease started, and the scale started going up. And I got scared, and I didn't know what to do, because I knew where I was going. Because I had never been able to break 200 pounds. And all the diets I was ever on, somehow, when I started getting close to that 200 pounds, I couldn't get under it. And I would leave, I would fall off the wagon, and gain up 50, 60, 70 pounds more. So I was a yo-yoer. And what happened to me was somebody told me about OA. So I said, well, I'm desperate because I didn't know what to do. So I went to OA. At that point, they were in Westminster. And at that point, my mother got very, very ill. And I can't tell you that I took the program. I can tell you that I was on a diet. I grabbed the food plan, and that was my survival. And when my mother finally passed away, I was 147 pounds. Now, I am 5'10". And when I tell you I looked anorexic, I saw a picture of myself, I couldn't believe how thin I was, like a long drink of water. And so what happened to me was I was fixed. I was cured. I didn't need it anymore. I was thin. That was my answer. So out I went. And I stayed out for 14 years. 14 years later, I was in a Unity church, and somebody I knew from OA had walked in, and they were thin. And of course, I ran right over to them, and I said, what are you doing? How'd you lose the weight? Tell me, quick, give me the food plan. And she did. She gave me the food plan, and she told me where the meeting was, the HAL meeting. And so my journey back to HAL started, or to HAL started. I did not plan to stay there. My plan was to get the food plan and go. So I was going to just be at the meeting. And God had other plans for me, because before I knew it, I was standing in front of a woman that I didn't know, and I knew most of the people in the room from OA. And I was asking her to be my sponsor. And it was like a deja vu moment. It was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And she wanted to say no, I could see it. And she finally was just shaking her head, okay, I'll take you as a sponsor. Well, that started me in the rooms. And at that point, I lost, I would say, over 60 pounds. And I had 7 years of back-to-back abstinence. It was the first abstinence I had, and I didn't, I guess, value it enough. So I lost it. I had some surgery, and I was in physical pain, and I needed something cold and slippery to make me feel better, and that was it. 12 years, I sat in the rooms, and I couldn't talk because my abstinence was up and down, abstinence slipping, back and forth for 12 years. At the end of the 12 years, I sat in my house, and I had a talk with God, and I said, God, I cannot go on like this anymore. I can't take it. Either take me or help me, but do something for me. The next day, I got up, and I called a therapist. My sponsor at that point had given me the name of a therapist, and I called a physical doctor to get some antidepressants because I was in really bad shape. The first 3 sessions I had with the therapist, I cried. I was so overwhelmed in my life, I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't fat. I had only gained 15 pounds from my maintenance weight. But emotionally, I was a wreck. I was totally nuts. At that point, God touched me and blessed me. And today, I have a little over 3 years of back-to-back abstinence. By the grace of God. And thank you. It's not me, it's God. Because God does for me what I cannot do for myself. Now, I want to just go back for a quick second and tell you that all my life, I believed the lie. I call it the lie. And the lie was, if only I were thin, my life would work. Okay? And that's what I believed. Only I could never get thin, so my life wasn't working. When I came to Hal, within the first 6 months, the weight flew off of me so fast, I couldn't believe it because I was abstinent. When I got to maintenance, this is the first time in my life I ever stayed for maintenance, by the way. I was so angry. I didn't know what to do with myself because all of a sudden I was thin and my life was still not working. And I was the angriest person you've ever seen. And so at that point we used to have AA tapes on the steps and I would go to the meeting and I would sit there and listen. And each time I heard a tape, I'd get like an aha moment. And that's when the program started to happen to me, before it was the diet. All I wanted to lose weight so I could be fixed and my life would be fixed. And then I found out there was so much more. Because I know that you've heard in the rooms, thin is not well. Thin, and I was thin, was not well. I'm 5'10". Okay, and my maintenance weight is 158 pounds. So, from that point on, I started to embrace the program. And I started to embrace the program differently than ever before. I started to develop a spiritual program. Well, I always believed in God, but the God that I believed in was not one that I could trust or work with. The God I believed hated me. I didn't know why. I didn't know what I did, but he was out to get me, and I was always being punished. And so when I came into the rooms, they said to me, you have to have a higher power. And I said, higher power? How can I trust this higher power? And they would say to me, well, just ask for his will. I was like, well, what am I going to ask for? What's his will for me? I don't know. And so what happened to me was I devised, through the help of my sponsor, a higher power of my understanding, one that I could relate to. And she told me, she said, what qualities do you want in a best friend? What qualities would you like your mother to display to you? What qualities would you want in your father? If you were to have a husband, what would you want him to be like? And so my God slowly formed for me that I was able to get a God of my understanding that I could relate to. And I started very slowly. I started asking for parking spaces. Okay, God, give me a parking space. Okay, God, I want to be on time. I don't want to be late. Give me some green lights. Things that weren't important to me. I still wasn't ready to turn over the food. It's been a process. And it's been a lifestyle, a total lifestyle change, because I'm not the person I used to be. I used to be very scared and fearful of everything. When I woke in the morning, I would say, oh no, not another day. What's going to happen to me today? Today, I thank God for another blessed day of life that I'm able to enjoy. When I met and I spoke to God that day on my couch, I made a decision for myself, and I said, I've suffered so much in my life. I've been in such pain. No more. Enough. And because I had enough, I said, no more. And that day transformed me because gratitude. The thing that I never got with other food plans or other diets was the one thing that was missing in my life. Does anybody want to make a guess what that would be? Higher power. Higher power. And through the steps, I found a way to live. Because I couldn't cope with anything. I remember being in the AA rooms, and I'm not an alcoholic, but I would go once in a while to their meetings. And I remember them saying, when a normal person has a flat tire, they call AAA. When an addict has a flat tire, they call the suicide hotline. And that's the truth. Because that's exactly how I was. If I got up in the morning and I stubbed my toe on the wall, that was a catastrophe for me. That was enough to sit me down and get me some food to eat. Because food was my consolation. And I've learned so much about myself and how I think. And when I first came in the program, I had no sense of humor at all. Everything was so dead serious, life and death. And now I laugh at myself more than I cry. I don't cry anymore. I just say, I'm insane. I'm really, literally insane. And I tell that to people, and they laugh. And they say, really? I say, yeah, I really am. But I say it with a sense of acceptance. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. I have a question that I would like to ask you as this group. How many people have been on more than 3 diets in their lifetime? In their lifetime. How many people have been on, more than 5 or 6? I've always said that CEA How is for the down and dirty dieter. We're the ones that have done it all. We've gone everywhere. I could write my own diet book if I wanted to. And it's such a relief for me, I have to tell you, not to be on a diet. There's somebody in the rooms in Florida, and she has a habit, and she constantly says, this is my normal. The way I eat and the way I live now is my normal. And that's exactly the truth. It is my normal. Because when I came into the rooms, I didn't even know what a normal portion was. I didn't have a clue. I was like, I would slap two things together with something in between, and it would be this big. I couldn't even fit it in my mouth. To me, that was normal. And so I grew up. Understand something. I don't know whether it's hereditary or whether it's environment. I don't know. I'll probably never know. I don't know why I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't know. I'll probably never understand it. But I know I am a compulsive eater. I am a food addict. I use food because it's my drug of choice. When I want to not deal with life, I'm going to eat it in some way, shape, or form. And the way I eat it, the way that I get the drunkest, the quickest, is with sugar and flour. Those are the ones I like. And so, I just want to end, and I want to let everybody speak and have an interaction with the group. I think that in coming to Hal, and I just want to say this, Hal was full of things that I never liked to do. I didn't want to get up every day and call my sponsor. I didn't want to write down my food. And if I changed it, I had to call my sponsor or someone else in the program and change it. I didn't want to have to write assignments every day. I've been here 22 years, and I will say one thing for myself. I have never been without a sponsor. Never. And I've had quite a number of sponsors. I have always, in 22 years, written assignments, written my food. I've lied. I'm not going to say I haven't. I have lied. And I tell my sponsorees, and I say, listen, you can't do anything in this program that I have not done. I've done it all. I really have done it all. You're not going to surprise me with anything. It's wonderful to be free of a diet. I can't tell you that I see these new things coming out, these new diets, these new things. And it's so wonderful for me not to have to be the first in line to go over there to try the next new fad. That doesn't work for me. I know it doesn't work because nothing ever worked but how. Nothing. I've tried it all. And one of the other things I just want to say is, if I had not had the program, I would have been first in line for the stomach surgery. I have no doubt of that in my mind at all. And I'm so grateful I didn't have to do that because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There was an article in the paper a while back in Florida that people that had stomach surgery were having alcoholic problems. Hello? They might be thin, but they were drinking it. Also, we have in rooms in Florida, we have people that have the stomach surgery that have regained a large portion back of their weight. And now they've had to come back to program where they originally were before the surgery and start it all over again. There is no quick fix for me, and I speak only for myself as a compulsive overeater, food addict. There is no quick fix. It's a journey, and it's a journey going inside of me. And it's not about you. It's all about me and what I do with my program. One of the things that I read in the big book that I loved were those that cannot be rigorously honest with themselves in this program will fail. I was in the program for years before I saw that sentence. Because I never saw her. I don't want to see it. And that's the difference for me of being in a lifestyle change, a transformation. Because I not only lost the weight, I lost my negativity because I was such a negative person. I was like the one with little Abner, the one that had the rain over their heads all the time with the black umbrella. That was me. I was walking like this all the time because it was always raining over my head. I am actually now a positive thinker, which is a miracle for me. I live in gratitude. I love being grateful for everything I have, every blessing I have. I love being abstinent because I can't take the emotional. It's not even the weight anymore. I'm not going to tell you that the weight's not important. Of course it's important. When I go in my closet and I put on anything I want and it fits, that's a blessing for me. But what is important is that I am getting balanced, more balanced, emotionally and spiritually. Because when my spiritual program is strong, I don't want to eat. When my spiritual program is not strong, I have a progression that I've seen over and over again that is always the same for me. First, it's my spiritual program goes. I start feeling scared. I start going on the emotional roller coaster, highs and lows. My emotions get out of control. I'm filled with fear. And then the last to go is the food. And if I don't get it in the spiritual or the emotional, I'm going to pick up. But I have an opportunity now to understand my progression and to know I can do it. I can get it in the spiritual. I can get it in the emotional. I don't have to pick up. And with this, I'm going to turn it over to you guys on the floor. One thing I've seen in the AA rooms, which I love, it's so much easier to stay sober, abstinent, than it is to get sober, get abstinent. If you're abstinent, guard it. Guard it, because it's a blessing. God gives us the first one. On grace. The second one, we're going to work for. We're going to put in the effort. That's just the way it is. If you're having a problem and you're having a hard time with your abstinence, don't give up. Don't do it. The disease wants you to leave the rooms, wants you to go. I can't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, because there will be a miracle. It may take you like it took me 12 years of up and down, but you'll get it, because this program delivers what it says it's going to. It delivers everything that's in the promises. You will get sanity. You will have a life you never thought possible. You will have so many gifts and blessings from this program that you can't even imagine. If anybody had told me that I would feel blessed in my life, I'd have fought them tooth and nail. I'd have never believed it. The fact that I'm standing up here in front of you all is a miracle. It's a miracle for me. And it can be a miracle for you. Don't leave the rooms. Keep at it, one day at a time, just one day, not your whole life. And there's been days where I've had to do it an hour at a time, a meal at a time. Don't give up. keep plugging in because it will connect. And with that, I'd like to open the floor to your comments or your shares, whatever you want to do or say here. And with that, if you're going to share, I'm going to ask you to please sign up here because it is being taped. And if you don't share, I will continue to talk.
Come that way.
Yeah. Can I get your phone number? Can you say
that? Absolutely. 305.
That phone number will be on the recording, too.
So okay, great.
I don't know if you want that.
305-931-9743. 9743-305-931-9743. I'm in Florida, and I have to tell you something. Since nobody, if you want to share, just raise your hand. Okay, great. I'm in Florida, and we're scared. The program is not doing well, and I've had to step up, something I don't like to do. And because I don't want this program is not going to die because it's my life. And I'm going to do whatever I can do with God's help to keep it alive. And just sign in and you can go. The mic is over there. Or you can take this one. I don't care. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sherry, for those of you who don't know me. I met this lady 3 days ago. Is she amazing? We all say that, by the way. You know, you said something that really, one day, I did this program, and when I started 8.5 years ago, I eat out almost every night then. I still eat out quite a bit. And I had to learn how to do this program eating out. And I remember opening up a menu and instead of going to the flour and the sugar, and I we're allowed to mention food because this is not a meeting, but I also happen to love the chocolate stuff. So it's flour, sugar, and chocolate for me. And if I was going to break my abstinence, the first thing I'd eat. And I remember I didn't go to the back page where all the wonderful desserts were. And I started looking at what I was looking at, and it dawned on me that I now look at what I can eat, not what I can't eat. And that was a huge change in me. And also, I when I hear someone share something that I've said so many times, the way I eat today is normal for me. Because prior to this, if that was normal, it's 50 pounds more than what I weigh right now. That can't be normal. I know it. So I really think that, and the thought that I came into these rooms, I sort of knew it wasn't a diet. I knew it. But I came in to get thin, and I thought, well, thin will be well. Well, guess what? You learn sometimes you're actually a little sicker than you thought you were when you walked in the rooms. It's embarrassing, but it's true. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, and I see faces here and that I've known for many years that have been here with me in my struggles. And yes, I'm abstinent, flour and sugar and quantity eating. But I can tell you that there's been some huge emotional slips. And that's why this program works, because I get to work out those. And I get to meet people that help me along the way. So, but I just wanted to share how that just one line. You know, and just remember, I remind myself every day of what I can eat, not what I can't eat anymore. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. I just want to make a quick comment, and thank you for reminding me. I have a disease. I have a threefold disease, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I do. I never knew that I had that. And then I found out that I also have the disease of more. I never have enough. I never have enough of anything. Enough food, enough love, enough clothes, enough money, enough of anything. I always want more. And thank you, Sherry, for reminding me about enough and more. Quantity. I am a quantity eater. I had lunch today, and let me tell you, I ate with this lady, and I have the clean plate syndrome. I do. Whatever's on that plate is going in. That's it. Unless I can just cut it off and ask for a box and get it off my plate. If it's on my plate, I'm in trouble. I really am. And with that.
Hello, my name is Janie, and I am a compulsive overeater. I've been in the program since April of this year, and I've released 43 pounds. Thank you very much. This goes back a long way. I am 56 years old, and throughout my entire life, I was called stupid, and I ate over it, you know, because I just was never smart enough, healthy enough, whatever. So I did get married. I did have a child. I did keep my weight under control. I was married to a very thin man, and I wanted him to love me, so I did keep my weight down. And then he decided to leave me 14 years ago, and I went from 135 pounds to 314 pounds, and that is with the help of doctors giving me medications because I couldn't deal with my loss. And then I did have a gastric bypass in 2003, and I went from 314 down to 209, and that was it. I was probably there for a few days, and from that point until now, or until February of this year, I went back up to 285. Saw an ad in the Penny Saver for how. I never look at the Penny Saver, but I looked at it, threw it away. 2 weeks later, I said, you know what, I should call that. I should go back and look. So I looked, and that ad was still there. So I called the ad on a Thursday, and I was invited to come on Saturday to the meeting over in Banning, and I went to that meeting. And there was only a few people there. And this lovely gentleman stepped up and said that he had room for another sponsee, and he became my sponsor. And he's been the greatest joy in my life. And I've had to, my life has changed over and over again. I'm now a caregiver for my mom, and, you know, she does live with me now. I had to sell her home because she had a lot of health issues. So now I'm dealing with that, and I am dealing with having sugar in the house. That's a very difficult thing for me. But the gastric bypass was definitely a Band-Aid, and sure, that's going to... I didn't want to have to do the work. I did not want to have to do the work. Well, you have to do the work. You have to release it. You have to have your higher power. You have to have meetings. And then I'm going to be honest with you. I left my meeting because they were so negative, and now I am going to go back. After this weekend, I am going to go back to that meeting, and I am going to be a positive source at that meeting. And I'm going to continue to keep going. And I'm going to venture out a little bit. And, you know, I've gone over to Carson there, and I've gone over to Torrance. And I do want to go over to Orange County and, you know, meet some new people and new meetings and just stay positive. That's why the phone bridge is such an important thing. The important thing is phone bridge all the time. I'm now doing like 5 meetings a week now on phone bridge, and I'm probably going to increase. Because it is so positive, and that's what I need in my life to keep going because I'm a newbie. So thank you for letting me share, and keep coming back.
Thank you so much. This program, Fred S., and I knew Fred, and I came in very early on when he brought us CEA Hal, and when we were part of OA. And he always used to say, if you don't like a meeting, then go and start another one. Don't go and find fault with the meeting. Go start another one. He always used to say that. And then I used to hear all the times in the room, if you're in a meeting and you're not getting what you need out of that meeting, then you, it's your responsibility to turn that meeting and give it what you need to hear. Because it's amazing what that does. it's amazing. I've been in negative situations and to where I want to just pull my hair out of my head because I can't stand it. And I've just said about gratitude instead. And it's amazing. Let me say this about gratitude. Gratitude has been a lifesaver for me in this program. And I never, there were certain words I never used in my life, ever. They were not in my vocabulary. Peace, joy, serenity, love, none of that. I never heard of those words in my life until I came into the rooms. And then I couldn't relate to them for years. It took me a number of years to understand what that was. And then I discovered, believe it or not, that gratitude was the key. Every time I felt fear, and to this day I do it, when I'm in fear, and I'm a very fearful person, let me tell you, I sit down, and I usually do it out loud with myself, and I'll sit there and I'll say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for my abstinence. Thank you for the food in my refrigerator. Thank you for the electric that I pay for. And I go on and on and on, and before I know it, I've turned the corner. I'm not in negativity. I'm not in fear. And you know what? I'm not hungry. Because when I'm in fear and negativity, I'm hungry. I'm looking to eat because I don't want to feel it. And so one other thing that I'd like to talk about is that because I'm abstinent doesn't mean that I'm abstinent from addictions. Because the food is down, but I'm an addict mentality, and the compulsive shopping that I do is alive and well. And I need to own that. I do, because I need to be honest with myself. It's not about, what my defects of character are. I know what they are. Believe me, I know better than anybody else. It's about me being true to myself and what my program teaches me. My program teaches me I'm not going to get beyond the lie. The more I lie to myself, the worse it becomes. Because I know it. I may not want to, I may want to deny it, but I know it. I know what's happening. I don't need anybody to tell me, oh, are you gaining weight? Oh, are you still abstinent? I don't need anybody to tell me that. I know. I know better than anybody when my clothes don't fit me right. When my bed will lie my whole closet of clothes because I'm trying to find something that I feel like I look decent in. I know all of that stuff. This is a cunning, baffling disease. And I can't afford to rest on my laurels. It doesn't work. I had 7 years of abstinence. Oh, I know what to do. Oh, not a problem. Until I lost it. And when I lost it, then I had a problem. Because I couldn't get it back. I couldn't get it back on a day-by-day basis. And this disease is, for me, worked on a daily basis. I have to deal with it at least 3 times a day. I have to face that big white giant thing, and I have to deal with it. And let me tell you, if I didn't have a spiritual program, if I didn't have a belief in a higher power to do for me what I can't do for myself, this disease defeats me. My will is not strong enough. It is not. And I know it. And thank God that I know it. And I accept it. Because before, I knew what to do. I know what to do. I know how to diet. I can handle this. Every time I hear somebody say to me, but I don't eat. I don't know why I'm heavy. I don't know. Yeah, you know. You don't want to know. I remember when I was eating, I would eat standing up because in my mind, I didn't think it counted. Shoveling it in before dinner, oh, it doesn't count because I'm standing up. That's the degree of my illness. Stinking thinking. I just heard it up here. Stinking thinking. And I have to be listening to this because if I don't listen to it and I don't hear it and I don't stop it, just because I don't want to deal with it doesn't mean it's going to stop. It's not. It's going to continue to play for me. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there anymore. I'm 68 years old. And at one point I said, when I said it to God and it's on this tape, I had enough. I've had enough. There's no more that I need to investigate or do research with this disease. I got it. I got it finally in my head. And I know that there is nothing I by myself can do. I need this program. You know, in the big book, when I first came in and I read the big book, it directly says, I came to AA to stop drinking, and I found God, and I found a life. And that's exactly what happened to me. I came to the program to lose weight. I don't want to hear about anything else. I don't want to deal with anything else. That's what I wanted. And I found God, and I found a life. And I got to tell you, I'm having a ball. I'm having the best time. I just enjoy myself. I enjoy my own company. Where before, the worst thing you could tell me to do is be by myself. I don't want to be with me. I didn't think you wanted to be with me. Why would I want to be with me? And now I think I'm a gift. And I don't mean it. Thank you. I don't mean it in a grandiose way. I mean that I finally acknowledge the God self within me. That this program has taught me, to be honest. It's taught me to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Don't do more and don't do less. It's taught me to be a person of my word. That if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show up. When I sent in the request to do a workshop, I was hoping they wouldn't take me up on it. I really was. I sent it, and then when I talked to the person on the phone, they told me the time, and I was like, oh, God, that's so late. And I didn't say anything. I said, this is in God's hands, not mine. And I've learned to accept life on life's terms, not my terms. And that's a very different thing. Now, does anybody want to say anything? Or you just want to keep me? And if somebody could tell me time-wise where I am? Okay, just give me a heads up so I'll know when to quit. Because I could go on. Oh, yes. Please, come up. Yes, I'll give you that one or this one, whatever.
I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you. You are so amazing. So amazing, Helene. Thank you for coming all the way down from Miami, from Florida, you said? Florida. You know, I hear so much of these meetings that are kind of dwindling. I'm here. I was born and raised in Santa Monica, so I'm very fortunate to have all the meetings, all the time, and when I tell my sponsor, I don't feel like going, you know what? I need to get more into gratitude. You talked about gratitude because I can run on self-will, and I just wanted to also ask, how do you stay spiritually connected to my Lord? I know he's always there for me, but sometimes I can leave him, and then I'm running on self-will and want that negative thinking goes in. So I try on a daily basis to pray the first thing in the morning. I stop. In the beginning, I got on my hands and knees. Now the hands and knees are gone and pray. Then the praying gets to shorter and shorter. So can you please answer me that question? And you were amazing. Thank you.
So are you. Thank you. Let me tell you what I do. And that's all I can do is share what I do. I was on my hands and knees before this, up in my room. And I asked God to please allow me to be his vehicle, to give to this meeting what it needed. Because I don't know. I don't know. When I drift away from God, and I do drift away, don't think I don't. I have a human. That human part is alive and well. And when I drift away, and I start wanting it my way, I know I'm in trouble. And the wonderful thing of my higher power is he loves me no matter what. No matter what mistake I may make, he's there for me. When I fall over, he's there to pick me up. He got me to this meeting. In Miami, Rosemary, our delegate, who's very ill, and has been a sponsor of mine and somebody else in the room. And she said, she made an announcement for a delegate to come out to the convention. And I wanted to do it. And I said, I want to do it. But I thought more about it. I said, okay, God, if you want me to do it, give me a sign. And lo and behold, a month later, I didn't raise my hand or anything. A month later, Rosemary came back and asked me and said, would you go? And that was my sign. I want to just remind you, in the big book, if you're drifting away spiritually, pick up either the big book or the steps. The steps are the recovery of this program. They are the recovery. Get into the steps. I can't say it enough. We finally got a step meeting going in Miami. We had lost the step meeting, and I'm so grateful to have that step meeting because that's the recovery. And it says in the big book, the right use of will is to ask for God's will. And what I say every day is, God, thy will be done in my life today. Give me clear signs of your will for me and the power to carry it out. Because I got that from the big book. And I say it every day. And I mean it. And if I make a mistake and I misinterpret what I think is God's will and it's actually mine, I don't get scared. Because God will take care of it for me. As long as my intention, my heart, is to follow his will and not mine. The other thing I want to say for humility, and that's what it is. When I came to the program, I got on maintenance. And one of the maintenance questions was, define humility. I didn't know what it was. And I asked my sponsor at the time, and I said, tell me what humility is. And she started to laugh. She said, I won't. Go to the dictionary. So I went to the dictionary, and I copied the definition. I didn't understand one thing of it. But I read it to her because that's what I needed to do. 5 years later, I was reading the step book for the gazillionth million time, and there in front of me was humility. Humility is just asking for God's will. And I said, my God, that's humility. Look at this. I finally understand what it is. Continue reading those books. Every time I read it, and I'm in 22 years, I see something I never saw before. I get an aha moment in my mind, and it's like, oh, my God, I never saw this before. This is phenomenal. And it's amazing. Keep those books. Live the program to the best of your ability. It doesn't mean you're going to do it perfectly, but you're going to do it, and you're going to, as the big book says, improvement, not perfection. We can strive to improve. The only thing that we can be perfect with is our food. We can do our food perfectly. Weigh and measure it. Nothing in between except liquids, diet soda, water, coffee, tea, Crystal Light, whatever you want it to be. And your life will change. It's amazing. If somebody had told me that your whole thinking, there was a point, and I'm going to close with this, there was a point in the meetings that I used to say, I think God gave me another brain. I don't think this is my brain anymore. I think he gave me, I did, I swear, this is true. I think he gave me a new brain because my thinking was so radically different than what it had always been. And remember, life is a journey. It's not an event. We keep doing what we know to do one day at a time. Thank you.